Acts chapter 13, I want you to look at verse 40. He's calling your attention. He says, "Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, through a man declare it unto you." Now jump over real quick to verse 46. "Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles." Father, I thank you for your word which will not return void. You may be seated. I want to call your attention to the very bit here that Jesus came. He did it the way the word of God was telling the Jewish people that he would come, and yet they rejected it. We need to thank God that the Jewish people rejected, because they rejected, it gave you and I as Gentiles the ability to come to the Lord. It gave us the ability to receive everlasting life. Because right here, he said, because you judge yourself unworthy, because you judged yourself, he said, because you chose to not hearken to the words of the Lord. He said, for that reason, they were able to turn to the Gentile. They were able to turn to me. They were able to give me this promise that God gave to his people. But you know, we need to realize something, that if we reject the word, then we're just the same as those that rejected Jesus back in that day. The word of God said that a wild olive tree was grafted in. It was grafted in. But I'm going to tell you something. It also says that one of these days, that olive branch that was grafted in, one of these days it's going to be plucked off of the tree. One of these days, whether we believe it or not, there's going to come a catching away. One of these days, there's going to come a point in time where God's going to say, come up here. And we're going up. We're not staying here. He said, gravity will have no bonds on us. Why? Because he is the one that holds gravity in its place. When he walked across the water, it wasn't the water holding him. He held the water, because he held the world in his hand. Don't you know, people, that God's word is what you and I have to stand upon. If we reject his word, we're rejecting his son. If we reject his son, there is no hope for us. But there's hope. Why? Because he said, if we will listen, because he turned to the Gentile and gave us the opportunity to be born again. When we read way back in the book of Isaiah, he began to tell them back in Isaiah that there was going to be a virgin, and that virgin was going to be pregnant. She was going to give forth a child, and that child's name would be called Emmanuel. God is with us. God is with us. And when that happened, he announced it to the world. How did he do that? Isn't it something that the shepherds, he didn't go to the kings, the shepherd, the normal, the common man was in the field watching their sheep, and they saw the star began to, and somebody told them, and they began to journey. And when they began to journey, they found the babe. When the wise men decided that they were going to come from a foreign country, they were not in Israel, they were of a foreign country, and they were men that traveled in a big procession, whatever you want to say. There were a whole bunch of them together. They traveled. And when they traveled, it said it took them. When they came, it said they found the young child. They didn't find the babe. You see, when you and I find, we can't remember, we can't go to the place where the babe was. We can't go to the place where the young child was. And we definitely don't want to go to the place where They think he was buried. What we want to go to is the place where he ascended from. He went to the cross to pay the price, but then he said, it is finished. And when he said it's finished, he went home to glory. And when he went home to glory, then he said he prepared a place for us. And that's where you and I have to realize we're going to spend eternity. Not here. Not on this earth. I know a lot of Christian people that think, you know, this is it. This is right where it's at. How can this be where it's at? How can God dwell where there's sin? He's even going to have to refurbish heaven because sin entered in. So he's going to refurbish heaven. Don't you think he said that he's going to refurbish? He said a new heaven and a new earth. He's going to refurbish heaven and refurbish the earth. Why? Because sin is here and he can't dwell where sin dwells. If you want to know, I hear these people say to me, well, can I do this, Pastor? Can I do that? You know what? If you have to ask Pastor, you better not do it. If you've got to ask me if you can do something, you should know right away. If there's a doubt in your mind, leave it alone. It's not of God. It's not of God. If you've got doubt, forget it. Forget it. Don't get involved in it. Don't get involved in it. You know why? It's the Holy Ghost checking you. It's the Holy Ghost checking you. The Bible said the Holy Ghost will lead, guide, and direct you and show you things to come. Well, if he's going to guide you, you've got to listen. You can't go ahead and go your way and just decide you're going to do it. Listen, God's Word will guide us if we'll attend to God's Word. His Holy Spirit will direct us if we'll attend to His Spirit. And He will speak to us if we'll keep our mouth shut long enough to hear what He's got to say. A lot of times people say, well, I don't hear God talk. Well, I don't hear him say, Frank, you better do this. But you know something? If I go to do something and there's a check in my spirit, I know that God's talking to me and saying, don't do it, son. You know, if he gives me the leeway that I can do it, then I'm free to do it. Why? Because his Holy Spirit is what he's given the world here on earth. He's not giving it to the world. He's giving it to the world of the Christian. But I'll tell you, there's a lot of people running around that call themselves Christians. But now, let's see if they can live up to what God said a Christian is. Because if you go back and look at what a Christian was, the term Christian is saying Christ-like. Oh, like Christ. Am I like Christ? Am I like Christ? Do I walk in love? Do I do what he's called me to do? Do I obey? The Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. Do I study his word to show myself approved? Bless you. Do I do the things that God told me to do? You see, that's Christ-like, is doing the things that God told me to do. And I know there's, that, you know, There's a lady that I know, and she has a friend, and this friend claims that she's a Christian. She prays, she does all these things. And I asked this lady about her friend. I said, where does she worship? Oh, she worships at home. Oh. How often does she read the Bible? Oh, you know, when she has a chance. I worship at home. When I have a chance, I read the Word. When does she gather with the body to strengthen the body? You know, what happens if that person has the gift that somebody in the body needs that morning, that night? That Wednesday night at Bible study. Listen, just because it's Bible study doesn't mean that God can't move the way God wants to move. It doesn't mean that God can't heal on Bible study night. It doesn't mean that God can't deliver on Bible study night. God's still God. God can move when God wants to. And if you're the vessel that God wants to use, and if you don't go to the house of God, then you're setting home and you're stealing from me. You're stealing from me. If you're not in the house when you're supposed to be, at the time you're supposed to be, you're stealing from me. I don't like thieves because the word of God. Oh, I love you. I don't like thieves. I love you, but I don't like thieves because the word said, the thief cometh but to rob, kill, and destroy, but I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That's what God said, that I might have life and have it more abundantly. Why? Because the enemy that comes to rob me is out there, and I know he's there. But you know what? The word of God tells me, just like we found in the scripture this morning, that if God be for me, who can be against me? Do we realize that our most important thing sometimes is to take up the shield of faith, whereby we're able to quench all the fiery darts, and the sword of the Spirit, where we're able to do battle. This sword says, their ministering spirit sent forth to minister for those of us that be heirs of salvation. This sword says that there are angels that excel in strength that hearken to the words of God. This word said life and death's in the power of the tongue. This word said call up those things that be not as though they were. This word says that one day he's coming back. This word says that God will take to him all those that are his. But this word also says there's coming those people that have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. From such turn away. And then again it says there's going to be those that draw nigh unto God with their mouth, but their heart is far from me. And he said, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. I never knew you. You see, it makes me to the place and time that I see that I've got to stay as close to God as I can. Because if I get far away from him, then the devil can come in between us. He can drive a wedge in there. He can drive. And I'll tell you something. And he can use anybody. He can use your children. He can use your relatives. He can use your husband. If your husband, you ladies that are born again and your husbands are not, believe me, the devil loves to use your husband against you. And gentlemen, if you're saved and your wife is not, he loves to use your wife against you. You know the greatest battlefield sometimes in the home is between the husband and wife and the children and the mother, the children and the father, because that's where he wants to come in. He wants to divide the house because he said, if any two agree, what better agreement is there than when you pray with your spouse? What better agreement is there than when you have your children praying with you? Listen, it says a threefold cord is not easily broken. If I have a husband and wife, I've got two cords. If I bind the children with them, I have a three-cord strength. I have a cord, I have a strength that goes against the devil, and it's not easily broken. But I'll tell you something. When we start dividing, when we, husband and wives, listen, I can show you today, I can show you churches that are divided because husbands and wives, you know, because they get their eyes off of God, or because a wife just let things go, a husband just let things go. I've got a wife, she ain't letting nothing go. You best not cross the line because she'll confront you. I'm talking about me. She will confront me. She doesn't let me get away with anything. Don't you even take the second look. Just because that woman is cute, don't you take the second look. Do you know why? Because I'm standing right here. Oh, you think it's, you know, listen, men, listen. Listen, your wife is a helpmate. You may think she's a hag and a nag, rather, but she's a helpmate. That woman that you may look the second time at, she may be all dialed up now, but what was she like when she crawled out of bed this morning? And ladies, that man, he may look good when he's all dialed up, but what did he look like when he crawled out of bed this morning before he got dialed up? You see, these eyes can deceive us, but our heart won't. He may look good or she may look good, but if it's not, then turn away. And if you can't turn, be careful, because if your wife's standing next to you, she might help you turn. And you know what whiplash is. You know? Listen, don't give the enemy an avenue to travel on. I've seen too much going on. I know too much going on. I thank God that I've got a woman that'll stand with me. And I thank you. Listen, let me tell you something. Gentlemen, let me caution you. You never get caught in a room with a woman and you. If you're a Christian man, that door better be open and there better be another woman in there. And gentlemen, you don't get caught in a room with another man anymore. I'm cautioning. I'm trying to tell you, the devil will use anything he can use. Listen, there was an awesome, awesome, awesome revival going on in Lakeland, Florida. Awesome. I think I heard there were 17 raised from the dead, right? 17 people raised from the dead. And today it's dispersed because the devil used somebody's eyes. He looked where he shouldn't have looked. That work now. He's lost his license, he's lost his church, and he's lost his ministry. 17 raised from the dead. No wonder the devil had to come in. I told this person when I was talking about the person that didn't go to church, didn't pray, didn't read their Bible, I said, I can't call them Christians. You may, I don't. And you know the funny thing about it is that this doesn't call them Christians either. And this is what I go by. This is my roadmap. You know? You say, well, there's no church that's, listen, you know, let me share this with you. If you find a perfect church, don't join it. You'll mess it up. You'll mess it up because the Bible said there's none perfect but one. Only one was perfect. Only one. And none of us are perfect. I'm telling you that the Jews, thank God for the Jew. Thank God that they rejected the word because it gave me the opportunity to come to Jesus. They preached to the Gentile, and I got in. I got in. Did you get in? Did you get in? You see, it's important that we know what the Word says. It's important that we confess our sin. It's important that we have an up-to-date experience, not something that happened 20 years ago. My grandmother went home to be with the Lord. She was 83 years old. But I'm going to tell you a secret. My grandmother came out of a church that believed once saved, always saved. You know? And I believe once saved, always saved. I do. If you live it every day. Not once saved 20 years ago and live like the devil for 20 years and then I'm going to go to heaven in 20 years because I got saved 20 years ago. But you see, I'm going to tell you something. When my grandmother was on her bed of affliction, my grandmother called my wife and I. And the first question I asked, Sister Maxine, the first question I asked my grandmother, because I knew she was going to go home to meet the Lord, the first question I asked her, is your relationship with God up to date? And she said, well, son, I think it is. I says, no, Grandma, you have to know it. And she says, I don't know it. And I says, well, then let's take care of that. And I'm going to tell you something. My wife and I prayed with her, led her in the sinner's prayer. She's 83 years old. 83 years old. And you know something? We went home, and we got a call a few hours later from my cousin. My grandmother had went to glory. And they wanted me to come up there and pray with her. And I said, what? They said, well, don't you think you should come up and pray with Grandma? I says, no. Why not? I says, I prayed with Grandma before I left. I said, I prayed with Grandma before she left. You know, I made sure she had an up-to-date experience so that because I prayed with her and she had an up-to-date experience, I'll see her on the other side. I'll walk around the throne room with her. But I said, will you? The phone went dead. They don't like their Uncle Frank. Only time they like their Uncle Frank is when somebody needs to get married or there's a funeral. That's when they call their Uncle Frank. I don't see him. You know, Heather's girlfriend, you know, she's got a girlfriend. Love her to pieces. She calls me Dad. She don't even call her own dad Dad. She calls him Snake. That's his nickname. That's his nickname, Snake. She calls me Dad. She calls my wife Ma. But I'm telling you, the only time that I hear from them is when somebody's sick in a hospital, when somebody wants to get married, or somebody died. You know? That's when I hear from. Do you mean to tell me that if the only time I called on God was that time, I'd have an up-to-date relationship with God? If the only time I called on Him was when I got to that place, what kind of a relationship would I have? What happens if I call on Him and I hadn't called Him in a year and a half and I call Him and He said, who are you? You know? Or I called on Him and He said, well, I haven't got time to talk to you right now. I'm on vacation. Call me back in 2 weeks. What would we do if God done things like that, like we do? You know? Don't get me wrong. Everybody should take a vacation. Everybody needs to get away. But you know what? We can't get away from God. We have to keep that relationship up to date. I don't begrudge anybody a vacation. I like to take a vacation. But I love to come home. You may not. I do. I miss my church. I miss when I'm not preaching. But let me tell you this. It seems like every time I go someplace, I end up preaching. You know? I'm serious. You can ask my wife. You know, you must be a preacher. We were in a Sunday morning service, Sister Jan. We're sitting in a Sunday morning service. The pastor asked me to stand up and testify. I stood up and testified, and he says, boy, brother, he says, you sound like you could preach. I said, I can. He said, well, come up here and preach. So I went up there and I preached. Pentecostal church, Sister Drusa, this is a Pentecostal church, and I'm praying for people afterwards, and they're laying all over the floor, and they run to my wife and say, well, I'll tell you, you ought to see what your husband's doing out there. What do you mean? You mean you haven't seen people falling out in the Spirit? You're a Pentecostal church. What am I doing? I'm praying for people and letting the Holy Ghost use me. That's because I've got an up-to-date experience with God. But you see, if you don't have an up-to-date experience with God, God's going to say, who are you? Who are you that's calling on me? Who are you that wants me to move? Who are you? I'm closing. I want to tell you a story about a woman that was raised by a father that didn't believe in God. And when she was 21 years old, she got sick. And when she got sick, it was bad. She kept going downhill. The father was a multimillionaire. He called this doctor, he called that doctor, he called this one, he called that one. He had them all come to work on his daughter, to heal his daughter. 21 years old and dying. Had all the money in the world, dying. And he had taught her from the day she was born that there is no God. He taught her that. He told her that. And one night while she was laying in bed, he came to her and she said, "Daddy," she says, "my feet are burning up," she says. "My feet are just on fire." And he said, "Honey, I know I've taught you all my life that there is no God, but maybe there is. Why don't you call on God?" And she says, "But Daddy, you've told me there is no God. And I believe you because you wouldn't lie to me. You're my father." And she died. "You wouldn't lie to me." You see, I'm telling you people, when we look around us, we need to realize there is a God, and God loves us, but he also has made provisions for us. But if we choose not to accept his provisions, if we willfully and knowledgeably turn away from his provisions, we have nobody to blame but the person we look at in the mirror. Not our mother, not our father, not grandma, not grandpa, not my cousin, not my aunt, not my uncle, but me, the one I'm looking at in the mirror. That's who I have to blame if I choose not to believe his word. And his word says, forsake not the assembling of thyself together. His word says, praying in the Holy Ghost where I edify myself. His word says, with tongues and different things will I magnify the Lord and edify the body. And edify the body. When the vessel this morning yielded to the Holy Ghost, it was to edify the body. To caution the body, to make sure the body understood that even in the event of a heavy wind blowing, God's still the rock to stand on. He's trying to edify you. He's trying to strengthen you. He's trying to get you to the place where you have an up-to-date relationship. Amen? That's what it's about, being up-to-date. I know that when Bonnie and I got married in November of 62. That's a long time ago. But I have an up-to-date relationship. I have an up-to-date relationship. You know, because I tell her I love her, I live with her, I walk with her. It's up-to-date. It's not something that happened years ago. It's up-to-date. That's what I'm saying to you. Do you have an up-to-date relationship? If you do, then you should be able to come up here and take communion. If you don't have an up-to-date relationship, then you need to get your relationship renewed before you take communion. Or when you're standing here, you need to pray and ask God to forgive you before you take communion. It's simple. It's easy. It's not a big thing. It's just simply saying, "I blew it, God." It's like Dennis the Menace when he got down next to the bed. He looked up at God and he said, "It's me again." You know, it's me again. In everything, it has to be an up-to-date relationship. If your relationship is not up-to-date, I caution you about taking communion. I caution you about taking communion. If your young people or your children do not know what communion is, I caution you about letting them take communion. Because the Bible said if you eat and drink unworthy, you heap damnation to your soul, and for this reason many sleep before their time. If you look up the word sleep, it's many die before their time. Taking communion is a serious thing. Just exactly like making sure you have an up-to-date relationship is a serious thing with God. It's not feeling, it's knowing. Knowing that I have a relationship. Knowing the God that I serve. Knowing that if the trump of God sounds at 12:19, I'm ready to go. Because he said, in such a time as you think not, so cometh the Son of Man.